Hello and welcome to another episode of What's Up, Prof. Hello, Walter.
Hello, Martin.
Are you okay?
I'm fine. The world is in chaos, but it's a sign of the end, right?
Obviously, our eyes should go up for where our redemption draweth. So let's open with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for all the blessings that you give us. Lord, without you, we can do nothing. That's why we ask that you please come now in our midst, and also enlighten our minds, enlighten the viewers, and help us in this discussion, this wonderful things that we can discuss about you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Martin, we're going to talk about last days, time of the end, latter days, that day. There's a lot of confusion as to what these terms actually mean. And I believe we are living in the last days. We're living in the latter days. And I believe that that day is coming very soon.
True.
We are definitely in the time of the end.
Yes.
And we've had lots of activities of late. We've had the Davos period. Yeah. We've discussed that. Then we had this terrible earthquake with thousands upon thousands dead and still trapped, and the world is in a chaos, right?
Yeah. You've got also the stirrings of war, or you mean that balloon, that spy balloon of China?
Yes. Yeah. These are all things to raise tensions, create chaos. There's a food crisis coming. Everybody's warning.
That's it.
I don't know whether people can hear the rain. We're having floods here. Roads are being washed away. We are living in very dramatic times.
Well, that those dramatic times are spoken of in the Bible. And that's why we've titled this, because it's mentioned
yes.
there.
Now, we're not going to do the signs of the times. Mm-hmm. We've done that. Everybody can read Matthew 24 and find out, you know, what will happen in the last days. But people are inclined to say, it's been like that for a long, long time.
Yes.
So what makes this different?
Yes.
So we thought it might be a good idea to look at what the Bible actually refers to when it talks about last days, time of the end, latter days, that day. What are we really talking about?
Yes, so that when you read it, you can put in context what it's referring to.
Yes, it's important.
It actually helped me, this study helped me as well. To somewhere, sometimes you can read something, but you don't put it where it belongs.
You put it in the wrong spot.
Yes.
And then, of course, we still have current events that we have to talk about and where the world is heading. We'll do that in the next one again, right?
Yeah, because you, the things we see now, the things that you send me and the things that we look at, that pendulum that's starting to swing,
it's picking up momentum.
Oh, for sure.
We are soon going to have draconian religious laws.
Yeah. It's on the verge.
It's
in every most countries. There's not many countries that's going to escape it.
No. I believe nobody's going to escape it. They're all going to be there. So let's have a look at this subject and see what we can glean. If you read your Bible, you will see that there are different eras.
Mm-hmm.
You have the antediluvian world, which was destroyed by the flood. And eight people, the number of Christ, are those that escaped. And then you have the patriarchal period. Then you had the period of the judges. Then you had the period of the kingdom. And the kingdoms would not come to an end until the Messiah would come. Because the Bible says that the scepter will not depart from Judah until he, the Messiah, comes.
Yes.
And that was fulfilled to the letter.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody can dispute the biblical prophecies is amazing.
True.
And then follows the Christian era. And it's interesting that the Christian era has now been running for 2,000 years. That's basically two cosmic days, mm-hmm. if you believe in the cosmic week theory. Now, all our pioneers believed it, as we said before, and it's pretty strongly supported in the spirit of prophecy, and I believe it's biblical. So I'm very interested in that time period, because no matter which way you cut it, that time period is coming to an end.
That's true. Well, if I can digress just a little bit quickly from here, I think you mentioned earlier or previously the time periods of the kings of the pharaohs of Egypt used to be 12,000 and 10,000 years ago. But after the discoveries of archaeology, it's been shown that they co-ruled, so the time periods came down to under 4,500 years.
3,000 even.
You see, so even that brings it in that the time period that the Bible is giving us is much more accurate.
Well, the reformers believed it. The pioneers believed it. The Bible says it. I have no reason to disbelieve it. And then you come to the time of the end. Then you have a remnant that brings a final message. There will be a shaking, which culminates in a loud cry, and then we go home. So that's basically the summary of the timelines in the Bible, right? Mm. You have the antediluvian world, you have the patriarchal period, the kingdoms, the Christian era, then you come to the time of the end, then you have a remnant, you have a shaking, you have a loud cry, and then it's going up. That's basically the timeline. And we have to determine where we are in the stream of time.
That's it. Now it's important to put everything in the correct period.
Right. So let's look at the last days. If you do a search engine search on the last days, you will find 8 verses, 8 matches. And basically it refers to the Christian era. So let's have a look at it, because it brings about a lot of confusion. In Genesis, you have this text which says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days." Now, many people believe this is the final little period of time that we are living in.
Yes.
But it's much broader than that. Mm-hmm. And we have to understand that. Because otherwise we're going to say, as many people say, oh, this has happened before.
Yeah.
Oh, who says it's the last days? What does it mean when the Bible says last days? There's another verse in Isaiah. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. This is an amazing prophecy. So when are the last days? Is it the last period of time that we are living in now? No. This is a reference to the Christian era.
Yes.
And we'll find out in a moment why that is so. Now, the mountain of the Lord's house, that's the kingdom. Mm. And Jesus referred often to the kingdom, that the kingdom is with you now.
That's it.
Because it's the establishment of the Christian era. And it's not referring to the final setting up of the kingdom, which only takes place after the millennium.
Correct.
So this is when it will be established. When? In the last days. And it will be a mighty power, because it will be established on top of the mountains, over and above all the kingdoms. Right?
That's it.
It shall be exalted above the hills. That's Hebrew parallelism.
Yeah.
Just saying the same thing in the same way. And all nations shall flow into it. Now, if we look at the history of the world, which nations rose above all other nations in power, in you name it, technology, all of these things? It's the Christian nations. And in particular, the Protestant nations.
Yes.
They were the wealthiest nations. They were the most powerful nations. The United States, for example, etc. It is absolutely a fulfillment of prophecy that the Christian era stands out in history as a very powerful era.
Yes.
And all nations flow into it because Christianity is not confined to Christian nations.
No.
In all other nations, Christianity gained a foothold, even if it is under persecution.
That's it.
So this is a reference to the Christian era. Here's another verse in Micah 4 verse 1. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. So Martin, isn't it amazing that Micah repeats the prophecy of Isaiah? Yeah. Almost word for word, right?
Yeah.
So this has to be carefully studied. Now let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 17. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, many believe that this only refers to the last period of time in Earth's history. So that this will be a very special event that will take place. No, it refers to the last days. So it refers to an entire period. So let's go a little bit further. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Does that refer only to the last days?
No.
To the entire Christian era.
Exactly. It was persecution from the disciples.
From day one.
Yeah.
It was persecution. So that's why people say, but this has always been.
Exactly. You once you understand this now, that the last days stretch right up to then you can't say, oh, it's already been. Because, yes, of course, because it's still going.
So we have to separate what happens in the very last period from what happened here. James 5 verse 3, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. Period. Mm. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Now, Martin, these scoffers, are they only coming in our time, or were they there from the beginning?
They're there from the beginning, but you see, most, I include myself, also thought, okay, this will be in the end. And these scoffers are the ones that are telling you, oh, it's happened before.
So when Jesus says that the kingdom is amongst you, and that the kingdom is near, and that the kingdom has arrived, it's talking about the Christian era, the entire Christian era. And there were scoffers, and there were gainsayers. I mean, look at all the Gnostics, how they manipulated the word with their Alexandrian manuscripts and all the nonsense denigrating Jesus and bringing him down. These are scoffers.
Yes.
And they have existed throughout the entire Christian era. Look at those that rejected Jesus. Didn't they scoff?
Oh.
He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Get down from the cross there. Didn't they scoff?
Exactly.
So the scoffing is about the Christian era. The scoffing is about Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It's against the Word of God manifested in the flesh.
Yeah.
So the entire war is against Jesus Christ.
It will increase at the last portion of the last days.
Correct. But just grab that top book there. This book says The Great Controversy between Christ and Satan.
That's it.
This is the history of the last days.
That's it.
The entire book.
It starts with the destruction of Jerusalem. That's right where the Christian era started taking place.
This is a beautiful old volume of that book. So these are the last days, Martin.
Exactly.
And we need to study them to understand them in their fullness. It includes the entire history of the first church, the early Christian church, right through to the falling away, to the reformation, and eventually to the remnant that has to restore all things, bring the three angels' messages, and take us to the last day.
Exactly. So if we can, we advertise. This is an important book.
Read it.
Get it and read it.
Yes. It has a place of honor then.
Yeah.
All right, so once we've established that the last days refer to the Christian era, then we can look at some parallel references. We also have the term last time, which is exactly the same, just another way of saying it. It also refers to the Christian era, and there are three verses and four matches for this term, the last time. The one you find in 1 Peter 1 verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time.
The whole era.
The whole Christian era. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time.
Exactly. Already living in it.
Living in it. So, Antichrist was going to come. Simon Magus was one that decided that he wanted to buy his way into power. And Peter rebuked him. And he became the sorcerer of Nero.
Yeah.
And that's probably the Simon that they call the Petra, the Simon Peter.
Yes, the Pope, the first Pope of the Catholic Church.
The forerunner for that. And it was going to come. So it is paganism and sorcery masquerading as Christianity. All right, so now we established that the last time and the last days refers to exactly the same period. Or Jude 1:18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Didn't Paul warn about them?
Yes.
Yes. And he warned those early churches that they have to beware of these people. So this is not only a reference to the very last portion of human history. It's the entire Christian era. Now let's just think about that. If the last days and the last time refers to the entire Christian era, which has been going for 2,000 years now, is there anything else that comes after the Christian era?
No.
No.
No era. The kingdom.
No era. So can we expect, Martin, a new religion to come that will supersede Christianity?
No.
No. So, Martin, if the Christian era is the very final era, which is relevant to Scripture, then surely there cannot be any other era that follows it, because this is the last one.
Correct.
The last era, the last time. So, at the risk of being contentious, if a new religion arises after the Christian era has already commenced, let's say like Islam, for example, that negates the divinity of Christ, whereas the divinity of Christ and the redemption through Christ was the bone of contention, then does that not fall into the category of the scoffers?
Yes. They're directly in there. It's not a new era. They cannot begin a new era.
The Bible doesn't talk about a new era.
No.
So there cannot be a new era that negates the Christian era.
Correct.
It has to be scoffers.
Yeah.
All right, Martin. So that's very interesting. So the mountain of the Lord, this kingdom that is being set up, that works like yeast, that permeates through all nations, are touched by Christianity. Some nations rebel more violently than others against it. Mm-hmm. But eventually all nations are in rebellion to Bible-based Christianity. Right?
Yep.
Okay. So that sets the stage. The battleground is the last days, the last time period. So anything that falls outside of that definition is spurious.
Yes, and will lead to scoffing.
So as we've seen, there's more than one term describing the Christian era. So you have to look at the context, you have to study it. Let's look at some other terminology in the Bible that is very descriptive. You have the term last day, and there are eight verses and eight matches for the term last day. And it normally refers to the day of the Lord's coming.
Yeah.
So Nehemiah 8:18, also day by day from the first day unto the last day he read in the book of the law, and they kept the feast 7 days, etc. So obviously this is just a reference to a time period that came to an end.
Yeah.
So you're going to have last day and you don't have to read anything in it. It is the last day of the week, etc., etc. But then you have this one here in John 6:39. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. That's the last day of history prior to the millennium.
Yes.
John 6:40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's a very specific day, the very final day.
The Advent, the second Advent.
That's the second Advent. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So they're all referring to the exact same time period. A very important time, because that's the end of all things prior to the millennium.
No, that's
right?
Actually the end of time.
That's the second coming of Christ. No. And then John 6:54, whoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Or John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. There again, it's just an historic day. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. We must be very circumspect when we study these things.
Yes, you have to. I enjoy this study because it puts everything in context. You can't read out of context and then apply something that you read there and say, oh, but this is the last day, if it doesn't harmonize with the rest of the scripture.
Correct. You have to study the wording. And you have to say to yourself, what does this refer to? He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Because you're either part of the resurrection of the righteous or you're not, right?
Yeah.
And you're either amongst the living righteous or you are not. So that's a very specific term. There's another term that is used also for that same event, and that is for that day. That's also the day of the Lord's coming. There are two matches for this. Jeremiah 30 verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Or 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So that day, that final day of Christ's coming, will not come until these events have taken place.
Correct.
All right. So
very,
that
very. This is not very hard to understand.
No, it's very simple to understand. Then you get to a little bit more complicated one: the time of the end. When is that?
Yeah.
That takes a little bit more study. When does the time of the end start? So, Martin, we've seen that the last days is the entire Christian era, 2,000 years, with all the calamities and dramas and wars and dissensions against Christianity and against Jesus Christ, the principal figure in the entire era. And I would go so far as to say that more blood has been shed around that name than any other name in human history.
True. Hmm? It has to.
And it's been a bloody history
for
2,000 years. And that day, when it comes, we'll put an end to it, the second coming. There will be a slight rising and an attempt to take the city after the millennium. But the redeemed will have been redeemed and the lost will have been lost at that day. Now, when is the time of the end? Let's study it. Daniel 8:17. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Time of the end. So there's a specific vision of Daniel 8, and it concerns the time of the end. When does the time of the end start? Mm-hmm. We need to know.
Yes.
Daniel 11, verse 35. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. So there's a specific time period, which the Bible calls the time of the end.
To make sure that you don't confuse it with the Christian era, it says it is for an appointed time.
Yes, it's for an appointed time. And that day will not come until there's been a falling away. But when exactly does the time of the end start? We need to pinpoint it. Daniel 11:40, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, with many ships, and he shall enter the countries and shall overflow and pass over. Now, we've discussed this one in great detail in another What's Up, Prof series. But at this time period, time of the end, you will have this battle between the king of the south and the king of the north. I mean, we're talking about it all the time, right?
The whole time.
So we must be living in that time, right?
Yes, we are.
And when does the time start and when does it end? Well, obviously it ends with that day.
That day, yes.
So we are in it.
Correct.
We need to understand where we are standing in the stream of time.
Yes, because
biblically.
Otherwise, like we've mentioned before, then otherwise you can say, oh, but this has happened before.
Correct. All right, now let's get to the nitty-gritty of when does this time period start. Daniel 12, verse 4. But thou, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Mm-hmm. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. All right, so when will you start understanding the prophecy of the 2,300 days?
In the time of the end, when they unseal the book.
All right. So when does it exactly start? Now that prophecy, you can get to a date and you can argue whatever way you like. But it ends in 1844 because it gives you a starting date, the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto. And then it gives you the Messiah, and then it gives you the date, because 2,300 ends in 1844, whether we like it or not. We've discussed that many times. When will we start to unravel this thing and start understanding it? At the time of the end.
Yes.
Okay.
So, if we can put it just another way, to know that the 2,300 year ends at 1844, the studying should have been done just a little bit before, which is the start of the end, time of the end.
Time of the end, correct. Let's have a look at it. Daniel 12:5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. That's a very fascinating prophecy. So in vision, he sees two heavenly beings, one on the one side, one on the other side, and there is another one over and above it, right? The one controlling everything is Jesus Christ himself, and two mighty angels standing on either side of the river. That's one way to look at it. Now, what does he actually see? He sees them clothed in linen, so they are righteous, and they're on either side of the river. The river, of course, is the Euphrates. Mm. And the Euphrates represents the peoples, the nations, the multitudes that constitute the power of Babylon. But that river is very controlled because there's one on the left and one on the right. And there is the overall one controlling it all. That river is actually under control, even though it is in flood and seems to be taking the whole world captive. So let's look at verse 6, Daniel 12, verse 6. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river. So this is Christ himself speaking. When he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So it starts after the time, times and a half. That's the 1260-day period.
Yes.
That's the time period of papal supremacy.
That's it.
Which ends in 1798.
Exactly.
So the time of the end begins in 1798. God's people were scattered.
Yes.
Obviously, Martin, if they were scattered, mustn't they be gathered again?
Yes.
That must be the task of the remnant.
Correct.
Okay. So the time of the end refers to the time period from 1798 after the time, times, and half a time prophecy until that day.
Yes.
So we are living in the time of the end.
Yes. Well, that makes clear that the 1948 gathering of the State of Israel has nothing to do with this.
No, because this comes after 1798. Mm. That's when the papacy received a mortal wound. So when that falling away should come, and this power would rule for 1,260 years, then at the time of the end, the king of the south, secularism, will push against him, apparently, because he seemed to have a mortal wound. He didn't really have one. He just went underground because of, you know, Protestantism had put him in a bad light. And the king of the south is really controlled by the same powers because they're sitting at one table. And in this terrible time period, the time of the end, the remnant has to come together to bring the final gathering to fruition and to bring the final message of warning. Daniel 12, verse 9, and he said, go thy way, for the words are closed. That's the 2,300-day prophecy. Sealed till the time of the end. So the unraveling and the understanding would start in 1798. Time of the end. We are living in it.
Well, it also brings that portion, makes it shows you how important it is to not say that the book is still sealed. So you cannot unravel Revelation, because a lot of churches say, okay, no, but it's a sealed book.
It's not the book of Revelation that is sealed. It's just that tiny portion of the prophecy of Daniel.
Of Daniel, exactly. So
just to sum up again, when the Bible talks about the latter days, it's not talking about the time of the end.
No.
It's talking about the Christian era. Yeah. So this term, latter days, is used 11 times in the Bible, in the King James Version. Here's an example. And now behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. Here, Moses is referring to the Christian era, the latter days. What will happen in the latter days? What will happen in the Christian era? There will be terrible persecution, the catacombs, all of the terrible persecutions throughout the Protestant era, the millions and millions that were slaughtered. That's what the prophecy is about. Not about the final little moments of earth history only.
No.
Or Deuteronomy 4:30, when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice. Deuteronomy 31:29, for I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the works of your hands. Martin, this is the rejection of Christianity.
Yes, this is the rejection of Christ, and it led up to the destruction of Jerusalem.
Correct. You see how this starts making sense?
Yeah.
Jeremiah 23:20, and the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. So you either accept Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of your types and shadows, or you reject him.
Yeah.
That's it. Jeremiah 30:24, and the fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intent of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. So basically Jeremiah repeats what he said before. Reference to the Christian era. And when the Jewish economy rejected Jesus, then they no longer in any future time qualify to be part of this era.
No, because that Christian era stretches to that day.
And the mountain of the Lord shall be above all the nations, and many will press in. They have an opportunity to press in, but not as a nation.
That's it. So that's so important. No nation will be upheld as this is the nation of God.
Correct.
It cannot, in the Christian era, that cannot happen.
No, it is a universal decision that has to be made for or against Christ.
Yes.
And if you accept Christ, you accept his government. And if you accept his government, you accept his law.
That's it.
Or Jeremiah 48:47. Yet will I bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, says the Lord. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. So the descendants of these pagan nations, they will have the opportunity in the latter days to come back in.
Yes.
Or to reject it. It's their choice.
The whole world.
So this is Christian era. Jeremiah 49:39, but it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will bring again the captivity of Elam, says the Lord. Now it starts making sense. He's gathering his people in the sense of the Holy Spirit convicting them that Jesus is the Messiah.
He's gathering them out of all the heathen nations, even false Christianity. He's pulling them out of gathering them in the Christian era.
Right. So the war is raging within Christianity. So anything, Martin, in this era that opposes Christianity is not part of the kingdom.
No.
So that puts a whole different spin on the ball. Any religious system that arises that is contrary to Christianity, whether it be the New Age movement, whether it be Islam, whether it be whatever, it doesn't fall into this kingdom category.
No.
Ezekiel says, "And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes." Again, this is the battle, the choice between Christianity or not. And you can assign Gog to whatever you want, Russia or whatever you want. The fact of the matter is, everybody on this earth gets an opportunity to make a choice.
Yes.
Daniel, "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and makes known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." Now, what was he rebelling against? He was rebelling against the fact that his kingdom would come to an end. So when would this kingdom be set up that people will push into? Christian era. So this is nothing to do with the very final events. Of course, they are also in that prophecy, the 10 toes that will be destroyed on that day, which is the last day.
The last day, the rock that comes loose.
So in Daniel 10:14, "Now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days." So modern here he is referring to God's people, the Jewish nation, the tribes, etc. What will happen to them in the latter days? They will have to make a decision for or against the Messiah.
Correct.
So this is the Christian era that we're talking about.
When Jesus was there, they had a decision to make. See if the prophecies, if they had to show if they are going to accept that the prophecy showed that this is a Messiah.
Yes.
And by rejecting him,
they fall outside of the Christian era. They fall outside the last kingdom battle on this earth. So that gets rid of the entire Israel vision.
Exactly.
And negates it.
That just shows you exactly that there can be no nation that rejects Christ that can be a nation in the Christian era again for God.
Correct. And there are some, like even within our own country, that believe that a certain group in this country will again be the people of God. No, no, no. We are now in the antitype. It is a universal decision. Out of all the heathen nations, people will be pressing into this kingdom or they will be rejected.
Yes, they will become part of this spiritual Israel.
Yes. Or Isaiah 3 verse 5, "Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." Referring to the Christian era, David is used as a type of Christ.
That's it. So this verse specifically shows you there will not be a literal return of Israel.
No. You either accept Christianity or you don't. Any religion, let's repeat it again, that rejects Christ or makes him less than he is, does not form part of this
Christian era
kingdom. And then you have the term latter times. 1 Timothy 4:1, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." The entire Christian era.
That's it.
All right. Then, of course, we have that day. Now, this is such a big deal in the Bible. We find this in 219 verses, and there are 226 matches. In other words, in some verses, it appears more than once.
Mm-hmm.
So, modern, this term, that day, mostly, it refers to the final day, the second coming of Christ, but it can refer to a specific day in history that something happened. So, you have to, from the context, determine what does it mean. So that day largely refers to the coming of Christ.
Yes.
So for example, in Genesis 33:16, "So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir." So it's just a historic record of a thing that happened on a particular day nothing to do with the second coming.
No.
Exodus 8:22, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know it, that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. That also refers to a specific day in history during the plagues, where God made a difference between Israel and Egyptians. Then you have Leviticus 16:30. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. So that's also a specific day, referring to a specific day in the feasts. Numbers 11:32, and the people stood up all that day and all that night. Obviously, we're just talking about a historic record. So we don't have
just
to
have to show that it's quite logical to see which day is being spoken about.
Yes. Just to show that there are verses that don't deal specifically with the second coming of Christ when it comes to this term, but most of them actually refer to that day. So the second coming of Christ is an incredibly important feature in the Bible with many, many verses referring to it. So let's have a look at some of them. Isaiah 27:12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and you shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. That refers to the coming of Christ.
Yes. And once again.
And he will be gathered.
Yes, once again.
By the angels.
Not literal. It's all the children that accept Jesus coming out.
Isaiah 27:13, it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. This is antitypical Jerusalem,
yes.
God's people. Isaiah 28:5, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. That's the remnant that remains at the second coming of Christ. Isaiah 29:18, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. That's the final event, the second coming of Christ.
Yes, that's actually a hopeful prophecy there.
Or verse 23 in Isaiah 30, then shall he give the rain of thy seed, and thou shalt sow the ground with all, and bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures.
This refers to me also, it's hopeful. This is the new earth. After that, we've coming together always, like Isaiah 27 says, and going to that holy mount, the new Jerusalem. You're living in the country. You've got all these wonderful things in the new earth.
So that day is a day of great promise and of great tribulation, depending on what side of the choice you are, right?
True.
Isaiah 31 verse 7, for in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your hands have made unto you for a sin. Now, this can refer to that final day, but it can also refer to the day when you make your decision to follow Christ.
That's very, very applicable.
Then you throw away your idols.
Every earthly thing.
Yes. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. So that day has a number of connotations. It can be the day of your choice. It can be the day when this tribulous world comes to an end. It can be the second coming. So you have to read the context. Jeremiah 30 verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's troubles, but he shall be saved out of it. This obviously refers to the second coming.
Yeah.
Or Jeremiah 30 verse 8, and it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. So this is the final reckoning with Babylon. His necks will be broken, and it will be the end. He will be cast into the lake of fire.
Especially, it shows also this part of Jacob's trouble, which is part of the another period, just before that day.
So, Martin, here's a whole list of verses. Hosea, Joel, Zephaniah, and Matthew. We're moving towards the New Testament. We don't have to read them all. Suffice to say is that you have to glean from the verse itself what it actually refers to. So let's take Zephaniah 1 verse 10. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, that there shall be a noise of a cry from the fish gate and a howling from the second and a great crashing from the hills, obviously referring to the final day of the Lord's coming.
Yeah.
It'll be a day of wrath, a day of trouble, a day of distress, Zephaniah, referring to the day of the Lord's coming. Matthew 7:22, many will say to me, in that day, Lord, Lord, referring to what?
The
day of the Lord's coming.
Yeah.
So most of these verses refer to that period. Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So that refers to the second coming. Let's not go into the details of that verse. We did that under number 8.
And 9.
And 9. People can look there at number 8 and 9 of What's Up, Prof. Luke, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in the heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Referring to the second coming. Or 17 verse 31 in Luke, in that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Martin, we have many, many verses of this nature, and we don't have to go into them all. Let's just do 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Wherefore there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So these verses refer largely to the second coming or to a specific event. So now we have a little bit of a summary.
Mm-hmm.
The time of the end from 1798. Last days, the entire Christian era. That day, the coming of Christ.
Okay, so just want to also say, in that Christian era, the other ones that you mentioned, you've got the remnant that came just after the time of the end, 1798.
Yes. So you have to look for the rise of the remnant after the time of the end, which is after 1798. And it has very specific characteristics.
Yes.
It arises historically after 1798. Mm-hmm. It keeps the commandments.
Yes.
It has the testimony.
Yes, that's
it
very important.
It preaches the three angels' messages. And it remains until the coming of Christ. There's nothing afterwards.
Until that day.
All right. So the spirit of prophecy employs the term last days 3,608 times and the term last times 45 times. So how important is it that we study this concept? So let's have a look at some of these statements because they're quite enlightening. In the Revelation are portrayed the deep things of God. The very name given to its inspired pages, the Revelation, contradicts the statement that this is a sealed book. A revelation is something revealed. The Lord himself revealed to his servants the mysteries contained in this book, and he designs that they shall be open to the study of all. Its truths are addressed to those living in the last days of this earth's history. Now, Martin, did John write the Revelation?
Yes.
So nobody was to study it until the last moments of time, right?
No.
Obviously, it had to be studied throughout the Christian era.
It's important. It's not a sealed book.
It's not a sealed book. Now, the next thing. Did the reformers make use of the revelation?
Yes.
Yes. Did Martin Luther
They had to.
They had to, right? So it refers to the Christian era.
Yeah.
And this resolves a lot of confusion. The Lord himself revealed to his servants the mysteries contained in this book, and he designs that they shall be open to the study of all. The truths are addressed to those living in the last days of earth's history, as well as to those living in the days of John. So it's the entire Christian era. Some of the scenes depicted in this prophecy are in the past. Some are now taking place. Some bring to view the close of the great conflict between the powers of darkness and the Prince of Heaven. And some reveal the triumphs and joys of the redeemed in the earth made new. So Martin, clearly it refers to the entire Christian era. And not just to the time period when the remnant is active. Now, Martin, the term last days, as we have seen, refers to the entire Christian era. Does that include the period of the remnant and in the last little portion of that era?
It includes that. It includes the time of trouble. It includes all of that.
All of it.
Up until the last day.
So everything that has to do with last days is Christian era. And depending where you are in the stream of time, you can determine what portion of this era you are in.
Yes.
So when we're talking about the time of the end, we know that's the final portion after 1798. But the war is still about the same thing. It's about accepting Jesus as the Messiah and accepting his kingdom, which means accepting his rules.
That's it.
All right. So let's take a look at this quote from Christ in his sanctuary. Looking down to the last days, the same infinite power declares concerning those who received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Love of the truth. That means they accept the word, they accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah, and they accept obedience to the commandments.
That's it. So the last days has to include from the days of the disciples and Christ
up until now. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they may all be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12. That's referring to the falling away. And if they don't want righteousness, then they don't want the righteousness of Christ, and the righteousness is bound up with his law. As they reject the teachings of his word, God withdraws his spirit and leaves them to the deceptions which they love. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. So, Martin, when it says here from the beginning, actually, it refers to the entire history of humanity.
Correct.
Because they also heard the gospel in type.
The angel says the everlasting gospel.
It's an everlasting gospel. And what has to remain in you? Your understanding that there is the Messiah that would come to save you. And it is bound up in the divinity of that Messiah. Because without divinity, he cannot save you because he wouldn't have life within himself.
Yeah.
So let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. Of that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. Ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. What is the message we are to receive in practice? For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. That spirit reigned from the very beginning. And it will reign till the very end. And those who hate God's law will rise up against those that love God's law and will tend to destroy them. Just like Cain destroyed Abel.
Mm-hmm.
With a difference, God will intervene at the end and prevent the anti-typical Cain from destroying the antitypical Abel. So this cruel spirit will be manifested to those who advocate the principles of Christ. But let not this spirit discourage those who have the truth for these last times. The last times is the Christian era.
Yes.
If you accepted Jesus Christ and you were thrown to the lions in the Roman Colosseum, it's exactly the same conflict that you will have at the end of time.
Correct. And this is just so important because a lot of people we've spoken about it, want to put the things that the prophet is saying into an era before we live in now.
Yes, and thereby negate the era we are living in now.
So when we read the spirit of prophecy, it's still pertaining to today and it will pertain right up until that day.
It's like that book, The Great Controversy. It spans the entire Christian era. And the final portion of that Christian era is summarized in the book, Last Day Events.
Yeah.
So this is something that people can study and see where we are heading, because it is at the door.
Yeah.
And Martin, I hope that we've laid some groundwork to show that after the Christian era, there's nothing except that day,
the
coming of Christ. And where are we? We are living in the time of the end.
That's it.
And in this time of the end, there are certain events which will take place, and they're summarized in Last Day Events.
We are living in the time of the remnant, and the remnant has the Bible and spirit of prophecy to help us through to the last day.
Now, Martin, we are told in the Great Controversy and in Last Day Events exactly how this will take place. There will be persecution of those who keep the commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And the persecution will come from those opposed to the commandments, and largely from apostate Christianity.
Yes. Those who think they're doing God's will. Actually,
currently, as we are sitting here, the king of the south is still holding the scepter, but his power is waning, and very soon the scepter will be handed over to his so-called antithesis, all the Babylonian religions led by the papacy and the false prophet.
Yes.
And in harmony, they will confront those who keep the commandments and hold to the testimony. And that pendulum from King of the South philosophy, secularism, to King of the North philosophy, religious legislation to enforce a particular dogma that is contrary to the will of God, and that will come into opposition to those who keep the commandments and hold to the testimony, that time is right before us. Mm. And we'll talk about that next time.
Correct. Thanks.
Let's close. Heavenly Father, we've looked at this conflict, and the conflict revolves around one individual, Jesus Christ. Help us to make the right decision, to accept the righteousness of Christ and adhere to the principles of the only true Messiah who has kept his Father's commandments and asks us to do the same. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.